Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yo, what up? Welcome to another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. I'm Patrick, flying solo. So the Warriors are done for the 2023-24 season. They got eliminated in spectacular fashion by the Sacramento Kings in the 9-10 play-in game. And, oh man, that was brutal. That's brutal, just a brutal way to go out. But, let's be honest, like, it is probably better to get smacked this hard and to lose this badly than, you know, maybe some of the other alternative realities that could have happened. Because if the Warriors had made it close, won a couple games, made it to the playoffs and won a game or two versus the Thunder, then maybe they just do the same thing that they've done before, which is just, oh, fix the team on the fringes and, you know, go from there, right? That maybe, you know, they could still ride with the core and the vets and keep doing the same old dance and then, you know, maybe have better luck. But by getting smacked so hard, especially after having played relatively well since the All-Star break, and especially the last couple weeks maybe, it forces Lacob, it forces Mike Dunleavy Jr. to be like, no, okay, we're far. It eradicates the idea that the Warriors championship DNA, that this mythology running on fumes is all that this team needs to get far into the playoffs. You know, that's gone. If they lost by like a point, like on a buzzer beater or something like that, then it's like, oh, let's run it back. But no, you came in healthier than the Kings. The Kings were missing Herter and Malik Monk. So they were missing two of their top six guys, and you still got run. The Warriors are missing Gary Payton II, but what else is new? Still, you know, that's not the same thing. So the game started out like, oh, the Warriors have energy, but all of a sudden the Kings just kept coming and coming and coming and didn't stop. When the Warriors got within four, I was like, okay, third quarter is when they're going to make their move. But they, meaning the Kings, were the ones who made their move. So the Warriors haven't had that third quarter explosion since like Sean Livingston and David West were still on the roster. I said maybe back in January that I had let go of all expectations for this team, that I was just going to maybe enjoy it, you know, enjoy the ride, see how good the young guys can be, especially Kuminga. And he turned out to be pretty good for the most part. His rhythm seemed to be a little off after getting hurt towards the end, but, you know, that was satisfying seeing Trayce Jackson-Davis get better, seeing Pajemski kind of break out of that rookie slump, get over that rookie wall. Moses Moody, who I'll get to in a bit, like, still solid, still deserves way more playing time than he's getting. But, you know, so I guess I kind of expected this. I was like, anything good is just icing on the cake for the season, because the season was so, it just started off so poorly with so many things, suspensions, just, you know, veterans falling off, etc., bad coaching decisions, all that stuff. So let's just kind of look back at this season. And sometimes I like to ask or think which Warriors season in Chase Center since they moved over has been the worst season. I mean, maybe rank them, right? There's the one championship season, but if you think about it, every other season they've had there has been bad. And not just like, oh, they didn't win a title, oh, they came up short, but like, oh, no, it's really, really like frustrating and aggravating, right? There was that first year where both Clay and Steph were hurt, and you had Eric Paschal, Jordan Poole, those guys being rookies, Smilagic. That was just kind of a throwaway, right? Kai Bowman dunking was probably a highlight of the season. There was that season, and then there was the following season where, you know, the Warriors had Wiseman, and they lost eventually to the Lakers and then the Grizzlies in the play-in. And then there was the following year where they won the title. And then last season, Poole gets punched by Draymond. And then this season, hey, as Steve Kerr said at the beginning of this one, like, you know, last year was the aberration or something, and then this year is the rule. Yeah, okay. He might be right that half of that might be right, right? Like, last season might not be the aberration, and last season and this season might actually be the rule. Where did this team go wrong? I mean, you all probably know as well as I do, and I've talked about this a lot, but, you know, you could go all the way back. I mean, let's look at this season, just this season in and of itself. After last season, the Warriors, their vets were given, within reason, what they asked for. Steph wanted Draymond back. Kerr wanted Draymond back, so they get Draymond back. Makes basketball sense. They move Poole to accommodate the personalities and stuff. And then by moving Poole, they get Chris Paul, who supposedly was going to secure those second unit point guard minutes in terms of locking down fewer turnovers, right? That's Jordan Poole's biggest problem, his herky-jerky, inconsistent, poor defensive, poor ball handling, whatever play. And so the Warriors were looking good, right? 6-2, right? Like, it's going, you know? Clay's coming back with a summer of actually playing basketball as opposed to the season before where he had mental blocks about playing pickup because that's how he tore his Achilles. And then you get a healthy Gary Payton II, you know, Steph's best friend to crack up with on the bench. And here you go. You know, Wiggins is back healthy, and Looney is back, and this vaunted lineup of starters. But guess what? Four of those starters just completely disappear. They bail, right? And for whatever reason, right? Like, it's not been said if Wiggins has a family issue. And if it hasn't been said, then whatever. Like, it's not on the table. But honestly, like, hey, if we were expecting any kind of flashback to 2022 playoff Wiggins, then maybe got a handful of those games towards the last month or two of the season, right? He was woefully inconsistent. And then there's Clay, who was, you know, he just, again, completely fell off, right? And it was a shock that his shot disappeared. We knew he was a step slower on defense, but at least he could give you some instant offense. But that just wasn't happening. He was forcing it. And then he came back to be pretty solid and surprised a lot of us, myself included, I'll admit it, in the last couple months of the regular season. And then dropped the 0-for-10 dud against the Kings. That's really, really going to hurt. I mean, it sucks, right? Because Clay really, really wants it so badly. And Wiggins, I know, I'm not in the guy's head, but like just by his effort and his reputation over the years, he doesn't. So I would love to just, you know, play mad scientist or whatever and give Clay Wiggins health, right? Can you imagine? Like, I would kill to have Clay be 29 years old and have two healthy legs. That would be amazing. I bet you Clay would kill for that. But that being said, he's 34, and where does the future lead to him? It's highly debated, right? Everybody's saying you got to move off of Clay, like you can't pay him, whatever. He's going to get signed by another team. I have no idea. All I know is that there's a lot of emotion after this one amongst Warriors fans and writers and all that jazz. But it takes time to get away from this and then figure out what's next. If Clay gets a deal that's better than what the Warriors offer him, then so be it. Congratulations, man. You know, that's all good. You know, like the idea that, oh, he didn't spend his whole career in a Warriors jersey if he doesn't want to. If that's not the best decision for him, then fine. I always used to say, like, I could imagine him going to the Lakers. I don't think the Lakers can afford him unless there's some kind of deal or whatever. But regardless, I said I could see him going there because obviously an LA guy, and he'd play for his dad's team. You know what I mean? So I could see that. But like, if there's another team like in Orlando or whomever else that wants to pay him for his veteran leadership and his on again, off again shooting, then so be it. But I think personally, like, I have nothing to base this on, but I just think that the Warriors will keep him somehow. I don't know what that number is, because either way, he is so high variance, like really, like 0-for-10 versus dropping 32, right? So like, he's so high variance that at any given performance next season, if he's on the Warriors, people are going to be like, he's overpaid and then underpaid. You know what I mean? So it's really, really going to be interesting to see how Lacob, Mike Dunleavy Jr., how they go about this whole thing. And I'd love to see Clay stay in a Warriors uniform, but he can't be. I mean, this team, like I said, just they run on so much sentimentality. You know what I mean? And people have said, I've seen the name Bill Walsh, like how back in the day on the Niners, he used to just like cut dudes off when he saw that they were slipping. And not that the Warriors have to be that cutthroat, although it's smart, but these guys are different, right, because of their core togetherness over this dynasty run, that with Clay you can't just be like, okay, we're gonna, you know, start you for old time's sakes, or like we're going to, you know, find the magic, you know what I mean? Like this whole thing, like the quote that Clay keeps saying is like, you know, I'll never doubt these guys, meaning him, Steph, and Draymond, because of what they've done together. And like, that's great and all, but like, you should doubt them now. You know what I mean? You should doubt them because they look old. They look tired. I mean, Steph, by the end of the season, that dude was gassed. You know why? Because he had to carry. He's the only starter that's been consistently good from the beginning of the season. And he's carried these guys. So put it on those other dudes. I mean, again, I've said this. Other people know this now. It's like people have talked about it. If Draymond doesn't get suspended, then he doesn't miss like 20 odd games, then just give me, I mean, I thought this team was maybe a 5 seed at the beginning of the season, you know, plus or minus, who knows. But if Draymond doesn't miss those games, if at least they win a handful of games that he missed, then they're not in the play-in. Then they can afford to have a game one stinker in a series and then start getting the rhythm, figuring out their opponent, moving forward like that. But no, They didn't get that opportunity. It was do or die, tournament style, and they died. They're out. They're gone. But, you know, like I said, the vets got what they wanted, and this is how Draymond rewarded them by getting suspended, saying he learned his lesson, and then blaming Nurkic for flopping as the reason why he really, really got suspended. Not because of that, not because of his actions, but because of a flop from Nurkic. You know what I mean? And, you know, that's ridiculous. Like, I'm kind of tired of hearing about that stuff, but it is what it is. And if you want to go further back, right? You know, like, people are talking about the post 22 title. It's like, hey, you know, run it back with who you got, whatever. Like, I think, you know, at the time, I'll admit that, like, I liked using the draft picks, but I think that using the draft picks on Baldwin and Rollins, that's probably where they went wrong, because they could have used those spots for vets, plain and simple, right? And you just roll with the three lottery picks of Wiseman, Kuminga, and Moody and go from there, and know that Wiseman has a longer road to go. But instead, they got thrust into it. Then you lay on top of that, the real reason for the Warriors' downfall the last couple of years is Draymond. Draymond punched pool, killed the vibes. The team didn't like being on the road together. That's why they're so bad on the road. You know, like, there was no mojo. Poole became extremely selfish. He was a little selfish probably to begin with, but he became extremely, like, to hell with you selfish, you know? And that's just gone down the tube. Not saying I wanted Poole on this team still, but what they had just completely annihilated by the punch. And then this season, hey, I said beginning of the year, I will always pull. I said this over, like, last summer. I will pull for Draymond between the lines. You know what I mean? Regardless of what I think of him blowing up this team's end of dynasty run. And at the beginning of this season, he was doing all right, but then it all just fell apart. That's how you reward these guys who went to bat for you, stood by you, vouched for you. You disappear. You know what I mean? And you can't blame anybody but yourself for that. And that, you couple that with, again, the Looney, the Wiggins, the Clay falling off. And that's where you get Steph so tired. And at this point of the season, they needed Steph to be great. And there was no one else there. People talk about the Warriors needing a number two. You know, the idea was maybe trade for a number two before the trade deadline. And then Kuminga emerged, thankfully, and they didn't trade him. And I think he can be in the future. He would be further along, and I will still roll with this. I've been saying this for a long time. He'd be further along if Kerr played him more consistently. You know, he didn't look great against the Kings. He forced stuff. I took some ill-advised mid-rangers and deep shots. Complained about fouls that he wanted while not getting down the court fast enough. Yeah, sure, fine. You know what I mean? Get that out your system, because these mistakes are things that he just needs to get out of the system, and he hasn't had the chance. And then let me get to Moses Moody, right? Like, why doesn't that dude play more? You know what I mean? You have to make room for that guy. If you move off of Clay, just replace him with Moody and Pajemski or somebody else. You know what I mean? Because at this point, that guy needs to play. Let's see what he can do. We've seen what Kuminga can do to some extent, and he has a high ceiling. Moody, no idea. I keep saying that I wanted Trey Murphy III with that number 14 pick, and other people did too. But he wasn't there. And so now it's like, whenever we see Trey Murphy III play, it's like, oh man, we could have had him. He's like, he can handle the ball. He's more athletic. He's taller, et cetera, et cetera. But he wasn't in the cards. I want to see Moody and see how good he can be, so we're no longer sitting here being like, oh man, he's okay, but man, Trey Murphy III, he would have been way better. You know, let's see what Moody can do. I think at this point, you know, again, getting blown out by 20 something points and, you know, rolling with the old vets who just got run by a team that is younger, more athletic, but not even the youngest, most athletic teams in the league, right? this just shows you that if they had gone on to play OKC, they would have just got boat raced for in like four or five games. You know what I mean? They just wouldn't have had it. And the schedule would have been really, really rough travel wise. And then, you know, et cetera.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
To me, it's like, the org gave Steph, Kerr what they wanted, Draymond what they wanted, and hey, try it, you know, go for it. This is what we're going to do. We're going to, you know, you guys think you can run it back. You guys think that if you just have better chemistry and more cohesion that it'll be good to go. I mean, that's what we thought. That's what we thought. Like, we saw this team at the beginning of the year and off season and was like, hey, this roster is better than last year's roster. And this roster is actually better than the championship 2022 roster. You know what I mean? Because, you know, they were deeper. They had more athleticism. And they had Chris Paul. You know, somebody who had, like, veteran leadership. We thought Saric would make a difference. But it is what it is. And again, like, things just tanked this season into the ground. And behind the scenes, hopefully Draymond at least realizes that the last two seasons are primarily on him. Yeah, you can argue if you're not a big fan of using lottery picks. You can argue some of that. But I will always say that at the beginning of the 2022-23 season, when Dre punched Poole, that they would not have been that bad if they had chemistry. You know what I'm saying? They would not have been as bad. And they wouldn't have been great. They would have probably come up short because the roster wasn't deep enough. But if you tank the team chemistry, lose your first five games to bad teams on the road for the most part, and you have to scrape, scratch, and claw to try to get above 500 because no one likes playing with each other and there's like this big awkwardness with the team, then, you know, that's where you get Anthony Lamb. That's where you get Ty Jerome, who I do like, but still. That's where you get Moody riding the bench all season, where you get Kuminga getting inconsistent minutes, where you get Wiseman being the scapegoat for so many other things that ail this team. So we kind of reap what you sow, but, you know, it is what it is. You know what I mean? I guess you could say they earn the right to do what they want, but thanks. You know, they got the Dre obviously helped majorly with the four titles, but he also took away from some greater opportunities now and in the present. You know what I mean? And then there's Gary Payton the second. Love that dude. Seems like a good dude. One of everybody's favorite guys for fans and for his teammates and the organization. But like, I didn't personally want to trade Wiseman for those 5 second rounders for Gary Payton the second, just so they could get whooped by the Lakers last year. And, you know, part of it was because he's always hurt. And where was he now? You know, he's been hurt for a long time. Obviously, it ain't his fault he's always hurt. I'm sure he's doing what he's supposed to do, but it's just the way it is, you know? And he has a player option. He'll probably take it because I don't know if he fits on any other team doing what he does so limitedly for the Warriors, but, you know, that's another question mark. So when you look at this roster going forward, I mean, again, this is just all off the top of my head, and maybe I'll have another episode talking more in depth with other guests about this. But like, you know, Steph isn't going nowhere. Draymond isn't going nowhere because he's still good on the court, and Steph and Kerr don't ever want Draymond to leave. But the thing is, like, Clay, you got Wiggins, you got Gary Payton second, you got Looney, Chris Paul is probably going to be gone. And I'm not saying you move all those dudes or that they're all terrible, but those are variables that you have to consider if you're going to really, really, really be serious and not just have it be like, you know, a sentimental college try for the next year or two. You know what I mean? And then you got Kuminga, you got Moody, you got Pajemski, you got Trayce Jackson-Davis. I mean, those guys are all good. Could they be better if they were on a team that, you know, allowed them to play more? I mean, Pajemski played a ton as a rookie, but like the other three dudes, maybe, but who knows? I could see some people being like, well, trade Kuminga because he's not ready and he's their most valuable asset. You know, if they do that, then I think that's just silly. I think there's other places to work on this roster. You don't give away the guy who potentially could be your future cornerstone to some extent. I mean, you know, you get a lot of prognosticators say, oh, I don't think he's a star. I don't think he's the guy you build around. But like, hey, it's been just a few months since he's been like in the starting lineup and he's wowed people. You know what I mean? And he's just getting better. He always gets better. Like if Wiggins had half the drive that Kuminga has, then you'd have something, right? And then Trayce Jackson-Davis and Pajemski, I mean, two great picks. Mike Dunleavy Jr. has proven to be a pretty solid GM in that way. And so moving forward, I still trust some of his decisions for this team. And, you know, in the long run, I think Pajemski's better than Poole. Different players, of course, but just in terms of efficiency, in terms of salary, in terms of grit, defensive effort, at least, and just connectiveness, like Pajemski. I mean, Pajemski's going to be good. You know what I mean? Now we got our own, like, annoying, random drafty, like mid-rounder drafty that surprises other teams. Like, we've seen those from other squads, right? So now we see this. And I mean, think about how mediocre or average, like, or just okay, if you want to call it, like Draymond and Clay were as rookies. And they played longer in college, right? Clay played 3 years, Draymond played 4, and Pajemski played 2. So I have high hopes for his improvement. And Trayce Jackson-Davis, I mean, that kid's solid. He's really, really solid, and I like that pick. Is he big enough to be your starting center? I think you probably need some help in terms of just sheer size. You can't just go from like 6'8", 6'9", Trayce Jackson-Davis to like 6'8", 6'9", Kevon Looney or 6'6", Draymond Green and hope to survive when you're not more athletic or bigger than the other team. So that might be an issue. I'm like, hey, you know, y'all might hate me for this, but I'm like, man, let's bring Wiseman back. just for fun. But seriously, like Trayce Jackson-Davis as the 57th pick, man, I guess at least that kind of makes up for the Wiseman pick in a way. obviously in a lot of ways it doesn't. If you want to look at Halliburton, if you want to look at other guys it could have taken. It is what it is. But again, man, like the season was rough. This rough, like ranking the worst seasons at Chase Center. Oh boy. I mean, this one's up there. Like, I would have to rank, man, I would have to rank the Jordan Poole getting punched by Draymond season as the worst season so far. This, the second worst. I would say the strictly on the basketball court, I would say the Kai Bowman when Steph and Clay were injured season, that was the third worst. And then the COVID no fans attendees lose in the play-in season as the fourth worst season in Chase Center. I rank the Jordan Poole punch season as the worst because like they were coming off a title and Draymond blew that up. Any chance at contending or repeating blew it up. And then everything just went to hell. Like Warriors fans start arguing about who's to blame and all this other stuff and what they were building. You know, they had the solid foundation of old dudes, and then they had like a solid foundation of guys in their prime and youngsters. And it just completely shredded. So like the promise is gone. And then this season would be the second because looking at who they had again and the promise of it, the expectations and the fact that like, okay, you know, like let's let last season pass and then let's go for it. And then having Draymond blow it up again, having guys just fall off, just like some of the same things happen all over again, like getting all that stuff out the door last summer didn't do enough, you know? And then the Kai Bowman year, I mean, we knew Clay was out and Steph gets hurt fifth game. So, you know, you knew it was just going to be a bad season. And then the play-in year, when they got Wiseman, hey, you know, it sucked that Wiseman got hurt and that probably changed the course of his career. Actually, probably it definitely did. And then to lose in the play, I mean, it was at least entertaining towards the end that they kind of found something, that Steph showed that he could be this great singular player still. So, you know, that's how that goes. A lot of it is just based on expectations. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully, I mean, you know, like Kerr is signed for what, 2 more years, 3 more years? Steph has a couple more years after this. Draymond has 3 more years. It's like, you know, where do they go? I mean, Kerr was frustrating this season. You know, he was frustrating last season. You know, sticking with the vets too long to a fault and then costing them games in that respect, not playing Kuminga until Kuminga spoke up, not playing Trayce Jackson-Davis until there was an actual opportunity, sticking with Looney too long, all this stuff. You know what I mean? And I know it's not easy, and he's earned a lot of credit with the fan base, but like, you know, you gotta criticize when it's due. And I think he did a mediocre job, because what he's great at, as I've said on past episodes, he's great at is seeing guys like Steph and Clay and coming in onto this Warriors team and applying his philosophies that he got from Phil Jackson and Greg Popovich and making that work. What he's not great at is adjusting. What he's not great at is being flexible away from his philosophies, away from what's worked for him. It works really easily when you have a lot of vets and they know what to do and you have Hall of Famers in their primes, but communicating with the younger guys, giving the younger guys a shot, knowing when to pull the leash and all that jazz and when not to, those are things he has not been great at, you know, because he's only been coaching with these Hall of Famers and vets for the most part, except for a couple aberration years, especially the last few years. So those are where his flaws are. Can he work on them? Yeah. Can he get better? Yeah. And I think that at least this season, this smack in the face end of season, will force him to, it's kind of like a mandate to hopefully start from scratch in terms of like his coaching decisions. I don't necessarily think he'll change his philosophies. And I don't know if he needs to per se, but he needs to be more flexible to match his guys to what they do moving forward. So in terms of the roster next year, I mean, that's a whole nother conversation. It's all just really raw and stuff. But like I said earlier, some of those dudes, they just, anyone is on the table. Anyone on the table not named Steph, Dre, and Kuminga to me. I'd love to keep all the young dudes. I think they've proven themselves and that they have a chance. But, you know, we'll see where they go from here. It's a fitting end to this Warriors season and, you know, the dynasty. I wrote at the end, or I did an episode at the end of last season where I was like, it's over, you know? And I was talking about the season, but also like this run. And now it might be really over, at least the way that we see it. It's just a question of retooling, right? Because like, you're not going to get ring chasers for a team with a bunch of old dudes who, especially when there's other teams where you could like, you know, get more playing time, get the ball more, etc. Right? There's more attractive teams to jump onto, especially when we see how this postseason susses out, right? You know, I wondered if this late end of season Warriors run was like real or imagined. And who knows? The Warriors were woefully inconsistent in games and from game to game. And this Kings game was one of those where they were just bad. It was consistently inconsistent. And you roll the dice with this team and you either get the good version and the bad version, and they got the bad version, especially bad Clay. You know what I mean? I think he'll come back, but it's just a question of how much, because when you have like a $400 million payroll and only 170, 180 of that is actually like salary, and the rest of it is luxury taxes, and you get no playoff games at home and you don't perform, then it's like, okay, you move on. This season was the, okay, let's run it back with the vets, fill in some gaps, fix the things from last season and see how it goes. And it failed gloriously. You know what I mean? Failed gloriously. And you could say like, hey, well, if Draymond doesn't get suspended, obviously that was a reason that I've pointed to. But if you say, oh, like, you know, they're still good. But no, you fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me, right? Because last season, it was like last offseason, okay, you know, bring Draymond back, bring the chemistry back, get rid of Poole. Boom. And just like people say, oh, you can't expect Draymond not to get suspended again or not to get ejected again. Then like you go into next season and same thing, you can't expect him not to get suspended. And as I've said, they're not going to move him, but still, like, they gave this run a shot again. So not that you revamp everybody, but everybody should be on the table except for like two or three guys. You know what I mean? So it is what it is. That was a longer episode than I expected because I haven't talked about the Warriors in such a long time. But, you know, we'll talk some off-season stuff as the player interviews, exit interviews come out, and as more news comes on. All right. Make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel and all that good stuff. That's all I got. All right. Well, that is another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Feel free to hit me up on Twitter at Patrick E. Pino or at Oakland Warriors. Check out our YouTube channel where you can watch this episode, youtube.com/Oakland Warriors. Check us out at oaklandwarriors.com and be sure to tell your fellow Warrior fan friends to tune in and listen. The Oakland Warriors podcast is produced by National Film Society. And if you're so inclined, please do leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And if you want to leave us a nice review saying good stuff about the show on Apple Podcasts, that would be hugely, hugely appreciated, and it would be very, very helpful. Thanks. That's it.
Music in this episode provided by Paper Sun. Special thanks to Paul Amardo for production support. See you next time, and go Dubs.